All right, if you have your Bibles, you turn to Galatians chapter 1. I was thinking about this morning, that, you know, if there ever a day in which we need to be studying Galatians, it is today. The gospel has been weakened so much that we need to get back to it. And it's a simple gospel of grace, and that grace penetrates all of our lives. Everything that we do is by grace. And Paul made no apologies for this. I love the Apostle Paul. He never pretends to be tolerant. He says what he thinks, and he does it openly. He's accused the Judaizers of fouling up the grace by adding law to it. You know, you need to be circumcised in order to be saved, or you need to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. You need to join the church, and he doesn't have that, but this goes on today. You need to join the church to be saved. You need to be baptized to be saved. I mean, the gospel is all fine, but you need to do a few other things. And Paul would if he were living today, he would be having conniptions. I believe that. He would, if he go in some of the churches and listen to the preaching of, that's going on in many of the churches, that he would stand up in the crowd and shout out, "This is not the gospel of grace. This is not what it's all about." I have in my own life come to grips with grace many years ago. And realize that I am what I am by the grace of God, and nothing more, nothing less. I am what I am by the grace of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. And this gospel of grace, we're saved by grace, we're kept by grace, we will be taken to heaven by grace. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning that all that's happening in your life is by grace. And we forget that sometimes. We forget that the hard times and the difficult times and the times that we do dumb things, the times when we sin, it's all by grace. It's all by grace. And when we get to heaven and we stand in the very presence of God, the God of all grace, we will be amazed at what God has done in our lives. You've heard me give my life story many times, and I'm not going to repeat it, but I look back at my life and I see step by step God's grace in my life. I really didn't have anything to do with it. It was planned out and it just sort of unfolded in my life. And I stand here or sit here this morning by the grace of God. I preach by the grace of God. I have no ability to do that, and you are all witnesses of that. I preach what God has given me to share with you, and I make no apologies for that. I do cringe when I do hear the gospel being twisted and turned, substituting things for the gospel, just to appease people, to win the seekers, all the things that have gone on, and to deny the fact, or not necessarily deny the fact of hell and sin, but we don't want to talk about that because we may offend someone. Paul would just—he would go crazy today. He would drive him beside himself. He would just be shouting out all the time, "That's wrong! It's the gospel of grace. There's nothing you add to it. There's nothing you can't take anything away from it. It's a simple gospel of grace." God's given it to us. It's a blessing that God has provided for us. And Paul would cry it out to that one who is misusing the gospel. Let him be anathema. Let him be cursed. That's all that he deserves. It's an indictment brought against the people who were Judaizers. It's an indictment that would be brought against many today who have twisted the gospel of grace into another gospel altogether. Now, Paul makes no pretense of being tolerant. He's not backing off. He's saying things the way they are. You know, it does matter what you believe. There are a lot of people today who says that it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. You know, what a person believes is his own business. You can't change them. If we have brotherly love and we live by the golden rule, everything's going to be all right. There's one path. We're all going there. How ridiculous is that? How ridiculous is that? You know, you can move into other areas, things that most people would cringe about. But if I talk about free will, you don't hear that in many churches. Against it, I'm talking about free will. You don't hear anyone preaching against that. I preach against that, not because I'm good, but just because I don't believe there is a free will. It's all by God's grace, and God is manipulating or working all the details in all of our lives to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. He wants to reveal Himself. He isn't interested in revealing you. He's interested in revealing Himself in you. And so He's controlling all the things. What do you think the Apostle Paul would say about Reformed theology? Do you think he would stand back and say, "Well, it's all right. It doesn't really matter what you believe. We're all going in the same direction." What do you think what Paul would say to someone who said, "Well, you know, the sins that you committed before you were saved, those are forgiven, but the sins after you were saved, they're not forgiven. You have to ask for forgiveness. You have to confess those sins." You think Paul would tolerate that for one moment? I don't think so. Paul would be furious with the kind of garbage that's being preached today. What you believe eventually determines how you will live and where you will spend eternity. It is important what you believe. It's important that you understand the grace of God and you understand the gospel of grace. You can't transpose a system of law on top of that. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it or you destroy it altogether. If you add something to it, it's like every other religion. See, if the gospel of grace is the gospel plus law, it's no different than Catholicism. Catholicism is a salvation by works. And anytime you add works to the gospel, to your life, then you've missed it altogether. And you know better. From the moment Paul believed in Christ, he knew that all human effort was worthless. He knew they were filthy rags before God. And so he relied completely upon the grace of God. For him, it was Christ and Him crucified. That's what it was. The heart of all his preaching was the cross of Jesus Christ. "I know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified." That's what he wanted to know. That meant that you believed in Jesus Christ, that He was crucified, and He was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. If you believe that, you have salvation. And your salvation is by grace. Your walk is by grace. Everything in life is by grace. Anyone who preaches otherwise, Paul would say, they are anathema, cursed. So here he is. He's writing to the Galatians. He's preached to them. He's given them the gospel of grace. And now the Judaizers have come along and they've criticized the Apostle Paul. Now Paul's writing a harsh letter. If you read, just take a few moments and read chapter 1 of the book of Galatians. Paul's pretty harsh on them. If you read through the whole book, you'll find that he doesn't get any easier as he goes through. He's just as hard on them as he from the very beginning as he is at the end. He's trying to prove a point to them, and so he's very, very difficult. Writing such a harsh letter, let's go down to verse 10. Will you go to verse 10? He says, "Where do I now persuade men?" In other words, with my harshness that I'm telling you that I'm writing this letter to you, and I've written to you a harsh letter. Am I trying to persuade men or God? Who am I working for? This happened before. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. I've got a problem here, and I don't know what it is. We're in verse 10. I think I'm in the right spot now. I'll be there in just a moment. Paul knew that the Judaizers were accusing him of trying to win converts by making the message very easy. Did you ever hear easy believism? If it's by grace and by grace alone, all you have to do is believe, that's an easy belief. There has to be something more added to it. And that's what they are accusing the Apostle Paul of. This is just an easy believism religion. That's all it is. I have told you before, and I will continue to tell you, one of the hardest things to do in life is to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's easy to work. It's hard to believe. Sit back and put your confidence of your eternity, of your salvation, in the hands of God who says, all you have to do is believe in me. I want something concrete. I would like to hold on to something. I would like to have something to say to God. Well, God, I did this for you and I did that for you. And I feel much better about it. I sit back and say, all by grace? All by grace? Is there anything else? Don't I have to do something? Don't I have to do something to earn this salvation that he gives me? Paul's saying, absolutely not. Now he writes. That's the first word in his sentence. It's this word, do I now persuade men? Do I now persuade men? The word now there is not the usual word for now. It's the word arti. It's A-R-T-I if you're keeping record of those or notes in it. It means just now at this moment. As I write this letter, right now, as you're reading it, he's saying, am I trying to persuade men or am I trying to persuade God? Which am I doing? The word persuade there means to convince or to win over, to pacify. Am I trying to please the gods or God, or am I trying to please men? Which am I trying to do? I'm preaching pure grace. Which is it going to be? Paul is trying to please God, of course. He's not trying to please himself. Am I doing it to please a man? Absolutely not. If I were trying to, my messages sometimes are pretty harsh and sometimes they're pretty rough, and I never pretended to be a preacher, and I don't pretend to be a preacher. I'm a teacher. And I'm not eloquent in speech. I'm from Shikshini. Anyone from Shikshini, you'll know that they're not eloquent in speech. They don't have education. They don't have the background. They're simple, just down-to-earth old workmen. You know, that's all they are. Coal miners, basically. That's what I grew up with. And that's all I know. And I can't be different than what God has made me. And if I say something harsh to you, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to be honest with you, and I'm trying to be open with you. I want you to know the truth. And Paul is doing that today. He's writing a harsh letter, not because he's angry at them, but he wants to convince them that this gospel which he's preached and which I try to preach to you is simply by grace and grace alone. I'm not trying to win men. I'm not trying to please people. I'm not trying to fill this church. That's God's business. If God wants more people out here, there would be more people out here. I believe that strongly. Paul felt the same way. The Galatians, as they're reading these harsh words to Paul, how are they receiving it? And he say, listen, I'm not trying to please you. I'm trying to do what God has given me to do. That's my business. You don't win someone by harsh words. But if you're going to do it, you're going to do it as unto the Lord and whatever the Lord gives you. Paul adds a question. Am I trying to persuade men, or do I seek to please men? Of course, the answer to both of those is absolutely not. He's out to please God. He's out to do God's business, not anyone else's business. He's not interested in building a church. He's interested in, it's God's business. He's interested in presenting the truth as he sees it. Again, this letter does not suggest that he's trying to persuade men or he's trying to please people. He's out to please God all the way. Will you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 with me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You'll note this of the Apostle Paul. Paul looks at his own heart. And he knows that God tests the heart. And he knows down in his soul that what he's doing is the right thing. as he writes this letter to the Galatians. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, he writes these words. But as we have been approved, dokimazo is the word there, to prove, to prove that he's right. It's not a test so much, but to be approved by God, to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so we speak. Now notice the next four words. Not as pleasing men. Not as pleasing men. It's not out to please men. But God who tests, dokimazo again, who tests our hearts. God looks at the heart. And as a preacher preaches the gospel of grace, he knows deep down in his heart what he's doing. He's not out to please people. He's not out to persuade people. That is what God's business is. God's business is to draw people to himself. Our business is to present the gospel. Many pastors are trying to persuade people, convince people by compromising the gospel of grace. They don't want to get into the difficult things. I can remember someone telling me one time, I don't preach the sovereignty of God because I don't want to muddy the waters. I thought to myself, what a waste of time. What a waste of time. You believe in the sovereignty of God, but you don't preach it. You don't teach it. You believe in the gospel of grace, but you don't teach it. You don't preach it. Isn't that wasting time? What a waste. Are those who compromise the gospel servants of Christ, or are they servants of men? If I compromise in order to please you, I'm serving you. If I hold firm to the truth, and this is what Paul is doing, he's not out to please men, he's out to please God. He's there because this is where God has him. Will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to read Paul's confession here. And then I'll ask you the question again. Paul writes these words, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jew I became a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not as being without law towards God, but under the law towards Christ. That I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partakers of it with you." Do those words contradict what Paul said in Galatians? Am I trying to persuade men or convince men, or am I living my life to please men? Then he says, well, when I'm with the Jews, I live like the Jews, and when I'm with the Gentiles, I live like the Gentiles. Is he trying to persuade men? Yes, he is. But on what basis is he trying to persuade men? Is his gospel compromised? Paul preaches the same gospel under every condition. When he's with the Jews, he'll eat the food that's placed before him. When he's with the Gentiles, he'll eat the food that's placed before him. He doesn't change. He does not compromise the gospel. The message of grace is always the same. His conduct may change depending on who he's with, but the gospel never changes. Is he trying to persuade some men when he to win them over to Jesus Christ? Absolutely. But not by changing the gospel. When Paul's writing Galatians, he's talking about, would I change the gospel to persuade men? Absolutely not. Would I change my conduct to win men? Absolutely. Absolutely. When I'm with a Jew, I will eat what the Jews put before me. I'll live like the Jews. When I'm with the Gentiles, I'll eat what the Gentiles put before me, and I'll live like the Gentiles. The reason I'll do that is because I want to win them. But I will not compromise, Paul said, I will not compromise the message. The message is all the same. Salvation is by grace. The gospel of grace stands firm. The good news of grace penetrates your whole life. Now, it's just not for salvation. Understand that. It penetrates your whole life. When I preach the gospel of grace, Paul says, It's something that's going to go through all your life. It starts with salvation, but it continues with your walk. Your walk is by grace. You'll die by grace, and you'll stand before God by grace. That's the gospel of grace, the good news of grace. He took a stand where he needed to take a stand. He tried to live like a Jew when he was with the Jews, and tried to live like the Gentiles when he was with the Gentiles. He's not trying to please men. He wants to please God, but he wants to win them through Jesus Christ. He tried to live in such a way that many would be saved. Well, in this case, we've really spent a little bit of time on this. These first 10 verses are really setting forth the reason for writing this letter. The reason for writing this letter is that Judaizers have come in and tried to pervert the gospel, to change it, to add the law to it, to overlay this gospel of grace with laws. And he says, you can't do that. I won't do that. Now, in this next section, we're in the next section, if I can get to it. This next section is Paul's defense of his message and ministry, beginning in verse 11, going down through verse 21. The defense of his authority as an apostle, and then his purpose for writing in Paul's defense, chapter 1, verse 11, through chapter 2, verse 10. In this verse, Paul takes up his first point of an argument. The believing Judaizers have claimed that the apostle Paul has no authority to preach this gospel to them. Paul, who makes Paul a preacher? I mean, what right does he have to preach to you this message? He has no one backing him. There's no group of men that have supported him. He's out here by himself, and he's preaching his grace. Judaizers, you can't believe that message that Paul's preaching. He doesn't have a claim to apostolic authority. The apostles had some authority. You remember the 12 apostles were sent forth by God to preach the gospel. What did the apostles preach? Do you know what the apostles preached in the very beginning? Will you turn to Acts chapter 1 with me? Acts chapter 1. See, the 11 apostles plus Matthias, which made the 12th apostle, when they were sent forth to preach the gospel, it wasn't the gospel of grace because it wasn't revealed. What gospel did they preach? What's that? The kingdom, absolutely. Absolutely. They had nothing more. On the day of Pentecost, when the apostle Peter stood up, he preached the kingdom message. He didn't preach, there was salvation in that. There's salvation in the kingdom. But he didn't preach any message of grace. He didn't say, I have the gospel of grace and I'm presenting it to you. The gospel of grace wasn't even revealed then. Apostle Paul wasn't saved. Now let me go through a few things. We turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now you and I know what that means. You and I know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the beginning of the church. When the Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost and baptized that 120 in that upper room, they were placed into the body of Jesus Christ. Peter didn't know that. That truth wasn't even revealed. That didn't come along till several years later when Paul was saved. So John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they were come together, let me show you what was on their minds. What were the apostles thinking when they got together with the Lord right before he ascended? This is the question that I ask him. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? See, there wasn't any church truth at that particular point in time. They didn't understand the gospel of grace as it will be revealed to the apostle Paul. We'll look at that in just a few moments. When you read chapter 2, and I'm not going to go through chapter 2, but when you read through chapter 2 and Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, it was about a kingdom message. It was about the Messiah for Israel. When you go to chapter 3, you find the same thing. They had no idea there was a church. He had no idea of what was happening on the day of Pentecost that they were being baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. That truth would not be revealed until the Apostle Paul was saved. Now Paul, as he's writing that, I made known to you, brethren. The word known there is an interesting word. It's gorizo. And it comes from the word gnosko, but it's a little different twist in it. And Paul used this word when he wanted to make a point or wanted to present a truth that was very important. If you turn to, I just write these down. You don't turn to them, I'll read to you. But Romans 9:25, he uses this word. He wants to present something very important. And when he says this in Galatians, he wants to present something very important to them. He uses this word, gnizo. He said in Romans 9:23, are you with me? Am I going too fast? Are you with me? Okay. Romans 9:23. And this is what Paul wrote. And he made known the riches of his glory. That word there is, when something important is going to be revealed, he uses this word. It's not used everywhere for the word to know, but it's used here, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath before prepared unto his glory. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, he uses the same word, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. See, it's something important that he wants to make known. And so that's what he's doing in this verse. I want to make known something to you. I want you to know something that's very important. It's a present tense, and I want you to keep on knowing it. I don't want you to forget it. Paul may have told them this many times. And he wants to remind them again. He reminded them in verse 1. Where did the gospel come from? The gospel was not presented from men. It didn't come from man. And he reminded them that again. It didn't come from man. I make known to you this message that I have for you, that this gospel which I preached to you did not come to me according to men. It's not according to man. It's not according to man. It's not by man's standards. What does the atheist claim? The atheist claims that all religion is man-made. It's sort of a crutch to get us through. It comes from man. Paul says, my message doesn't come from man. My message doesn't come from man. But my message comes from God. And listen to me, you must never forget that. You must never forget that. What you have in this book right here is a message from God, not from man. It's written by men, but as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, they wrote these words. And this message is just as important today as it was when it was written. And you ought to know it. You ought to know that this didn't come from man. It came directly from God. And Paul's message, the gospel of grace, didn't come from man. It came from God. Notice again in this verse that he calls them brethren. He said the same thing in verse 2. He knew that these people, even though they were wavering, even though they weren't convinced that the gospel of grace was really true at this particular point, they were being persuaded by the Judaizers to forsake that gospel and turn to the law or add something to this gospel. But he still calls them brethren. He knew very well that they were believers. He was with them. He spent time with them. He says, the gospel which was preached. That's really a play on words here. The Greek reads, to you angelizon, to angelisten. He uses the same word twice. The preach, let me get it. The preaching that I preached unto you. Is what the scriptures say. The gospel which I preach in you. The gospel which was gospelized to you. The good news that I preached. The good news that I good newsed you, if you want to put it that way. That's what he's saying. The gospel, the one that was gospelized to you. The one that I preached to you. Notice what he says here. It's by me. By me. The gospel which was preached by me. The word by there is the word apo. I'm sorry, upo. It's U-P-O. Upo. H-U-P-O. It means under or beneath, and it implies some authority. The gospel that Paul preaches, he didn't preach. He had authority to preach this. That authority came from God. The gospel which I preach to you, that implies some authority that is there. That gospel was given directly to the Apostle Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ. And under Paul's direction, that gospel was being preached. Barnabas was with him. Barnabas preached that gospel. Who told Barnabas what to preach? Did Barnabas get this gospel from God? No. He got it from Paul. See, that gospel was being preached under the authority of the Apostle Paul. And we'll see a little bit later how that spread to the other apostles, just in a few moments. It was by me. The gospel of grace to the Gentiles was revealed to Paul first, and then to the other apostles. Will you turn to Ephesians chapter 3 with me? Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 2. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2 says, if, and that's a first class condition, since indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I briefly written before already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed by his Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Paul was the first one. And he got it by revelation. He got it by revelation. When he writes this letter to the Ephesians, I think you see a little bit of humility here. I think, and I believe this strongly, that that revelation that came to the Apostle Paul about the gospel of grace, he went and he told Peter about this, and he told the other apostles about this gospel of grace. They didn't receive it directly from God. They received it from the Apostle Paul. And Paul, in his humbleness, says it was revealed by the Spirit. Well, the Spirit reveals all truth. We know that. And so as Paul was teaching the apostles this great truth, the Holy Spirit took what Paul said and taught them. Will you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3? You understand Peter's writing here in this particular passage. It's interesting what he has to say. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. He writes, he's written, consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written unto you, as in also in all of his epistles, speaking of them, of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which the untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Peter's saying, listen, we learned from the Apostle Paul. We read his letters. We understand this truth because Paul has taught us from the scriptures. You remember in the Jerusalem Council, the apostles were having a hard time with this, with Gentiles coming in. Are they to keep the law and be circumcised? They come to a conclusion, no, that's not needed. But they were struggling with it. The gospel which Paul received and preached is not according to men. How did Paul get it? Look back at Ephesians chapter 3 with me. Ephesians chapter 3. How did he get it? He says, you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. This gospel which he preached came by revelation. That's how he didn't receive it from men. He did not follow any human standards. It did not conform to any man-made religions. It was unique. It was different than anything that was ever preached. Paul did not meet the standards of the Judaizers, and so they rebelled against it. That was very simple. Most religious traditions that are passed on from one generation to another generation go by the teachers, the religious teachers. But Paul's doctrine was passed on that way. He got it by revelation. Now notice what he says in chapter 1, verse 12 of Galatians. For I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it, but through revelation of Jesus Christ. I is very emphatic in this verse. I received it. Echo is the word, or ego, you might pronounce it. I received it. He didn't say we received it. He said I received it. It wasn't he and the apostles. It was him alone that received it. I neither received it from men, neither was I taught it, but through revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's how he got the gospel. That's how he got the gospel of grace that you and I believe. It came by revelation, through revelation of Jesus Christ. The word through there is the word dia. It's the channel through which it came. Revelation came through Jesus Christ. It came through Jesus Christ. Through revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to pass over a few things here. You don't need to have that. Will you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to note the difference in this when he uses the word revelation here, because he only uses the singular back in Galatians chapter 1 verse 12. Here he uses it in the plural. And this is what he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations. By the abundance of revelations. So Paul didn't receive just one revelation, he received many revelations. How did he get the gospel of Jesus Christ? By what? By revelation. It came to Paul at one point in time. Through a revelation that God gave him, he received this gospel of grace. It didn't come a little bit here and a little bit there, and finally he brought it all together. This gospel of grace was by revelation. It came to Paul all at once. God revealed it to him that this is what you're going to preach. This is the gospel that you're going to preach, the gospel of grace. It has nothing to do with the law. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away. It's all by grace. And it came to Paul by revelation. By revelation. It's interesting to look back at Paul's life and see how his life changed as a believer and what he preached. Will you turn back to Acts chapter 9 with me? Acts chapter 9. And what I want to point out to you is that Paul didn't receive this revelation when he was in the deserts of Arabia. You remember when he went to the desert of Arabia? Immediately after he was saved on the road to Damascus, he began to preach, but there was problems, and so he had to flee, and he fled to the desert of Arabia, and he spent 3 years there. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught him for 3 years. And it was at that time there were an abundance of revelations given to the Apostle Paul. Revelations, all right? When Paul came back, you're going to see what he preached. Let me show you this in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 15. In verse 15, Paul preached Jesus. Here's it. But the Lord said to me, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Now drop down to verse 20 of this chapter. Immediately he preached what? Jesus. He didn't know anything else. All he knew was that this one who stopped him on the road to Damascus was Jesus. The one that he was persecuting. Those saints that he was persecuting who believed in that name. Now he's preaching it. Now he's preaching it. And when he's brought down, he says, who are you, Lord? That's a small L there. He didn't know this was the Lord Jesus. And what was the answer? The Lord said to them, I am Jesus. Who's he going to preach? He's going to preach Jesus. Now drop down to verse 17. Ananias revealed something to him. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as he came, has sent me that he may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. What was Paul preaching? Now, he didn't go to the desert yet. What is he preaching? He's preaching Jesus the Lord. That's all he knew. Now, I believe that between verse 20 and verse 21 and 22, Paul is has gone down to the desert of Arabia and now has come back. Now notice the difference in his preaching. Verse 21, then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and was come here for this purpose that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? Now, verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength. How did he increase the more in strength? How do you become strong in the Lord? Someone asked me, how do you become strong in the Lord? Through the Word. You have to know the Word, don't you? Now, Paul increased in strength. Something happened to him between verse 21 and verse 22. I believe it's that time he went down to the desert of Arabia. Now, notice his message that he's preaching when he comes back. Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Jerusalem, proving that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. Something happened. He went down to the desert. Now he knows that Christ is the Messiah, the one who is to fulfill all the promises to Israel. I want you to write in the side of your note somewhere, Paul preached strictly a Jewish message. That's all he preached. That's all he preached. What did Ananias tell him he was supposed to do? He was to go to who? To the Gentiles. He didn't have a Gentile message. How's he going to preach a Gentile message when all he knew was a Jewish message? Jesus is the Messiah. Something had to happen. Somewhere between his desert experience and his experience going to his first missionary journey, something was revealed through the Apostle Paul. You know what it is? The gospel of grace. That's the message that he had to bear to the Gentiles. It hadn't been given to him, and I know my time is up. I didn't know that. I just looked at it. But we'll pick this up next week. But now he has a message to the Gentiles. Next week we'll look at that, what that message was, because it's very clear what Paul preached to them. Let's close in a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, again, we thank you for your word. Lord, we want to know more about it. We want to know how we're to grow. We want to know that this gospel of grace is free. Can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it. We want to know how to be strengthened in it. Father, that we need to know your word. Father, we come to you very humbly. We have nothing to offer. We're yours. We're your servants. We're your slaves. We come to you humbly because we do not have anything to offer. And we realize that what we have is only that which you've given us. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that we do not waste it, but that we use it. That we might use it for your honor and your glory. Father, then when we use it, you'll even reward us for it. We thank you for this gospel, this wonderful gospel that you've given to us of pure grace. We pray, Father, that we might stand on it and we might hold to it firmly. We might not let it go. So many let it go for works. Father, we don't want to do that. We want to hold on to that gospel. So we thank you this morning for the truth. We thank you for this opportunity that we've had to gather together this morning. We pray that you might use the things that have been said, that it might build us up in the faith. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.